An exciting time, definitely, and the KFFSC completed its draft with more than 200 teams this weekend at Horseshoe Casino, and I want to know, the big question of the night is, Farrell, have you recovered?
I have. It was so much fun, and it was a thrill having you there and getting to meet you. I think we've paired you with a wonderful playing partner that you're going to hear more from later tonight, and I think you learned a lot about fantasy football this weekend, didn't you?
I sure did, and I learned actually how much fun it is, and it's funny because it can be kind of intense and very intimidating if you've never done it before, you know, but it was fun to watch, and it was and everybody just worked together and helped each other out. It was really something that if you've never been involved in it, it's something that most people should get involved in.
If you love football and if you play fantasy football, you know, Rebecca, a lot of those guys that you met this weekend, some of them, their fantasy football experience had previously been just playing in their basement leagues and playing with their friends at work, and they've been successful at it, and they wanted a bigger challenge, and that's what they got.
Now, let's go back over, how many teams were there?
The entire weekend, 252 main event teams drafted, and another 70 or so teams, perhaps 72 in ancillary leagues. You know, your playing partner, Eric Bachman, drafted five or six different leagues while he was there this weekend.
Yeah, he had quite the strategy. I can't wait. We're going to talk with him in a little while. But now, let's see, now that we've done this, we've done our draft. Now we're looking at a little, maybe a week or so before the actual season begins.
4 days till next Thursday.
Okay, you got the countdown. As the fantasy football team owners and managers, what should we be doing at this point besides biting our nails?
And that's exactly right, because we're dealing with a preseason game on Thursday that will conclude the preseason teams, or season for all teams, and they will get down to their 53-man roster. Little if any of the starting players and little if any of the fantasy players that are on your roster, Rebecca, will play, and if they do, they won't play very long in Thursday's game. What you're looking for is teams to come together, players to get healthy, because I'm sure that you have some players on your roster that are a bit dinged up from a bit tired legs out from under them, and they'll get ready for opening week. So really what you have to do is start looking at matchups now. You've got 20 players. Obviously your first few round picks are going to play. They'll play every week. But you may have the position of the flex position, which I know you understand now, which could be a wide receiver, a running back, tight end. That's pretty much your last starter that you plug in. And so you've got to decide amongst probably three or four pretty good players who that flex is going to be in week one.
Well, you know, if we do need any, you know, muscles that need to massage, me and I've got some of my girlfriends will be very willing to help out and do that for the cause, okay?
You know, I'm just so very excited about all these girlfriends. It's going to be a beautiful season.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, it is something, you know, to keep an eye on. And I think, you know, I know we've said this, and I want to keep stressing, the wonderful thing about fantasy football is every game matters. And you find yourself, you want to stay involved in every game. So I think it brings a lot of great great attention to the football program. Maybe some teams maybe weren't getting as much attention. Now everyone's getting attention.
That's right. And it makes every game, even if they aren't teams on your radar, teams you particularly follow, it makes those games exciting to watch when they come into your home. You know, Rebecca, so many of the players stopped me and said, "Who is the pretty lady?" They were all talking about you, and they were very intrigued with what you were doing there. And I think you had a really good time. You got to talk to a lot of them, too, didn't you?
Yeah, we got to do some great interviews. And it was neat because some of these, of course, we had a father and son team there, and they actually had T-shirts made, which I was kind of jealous of that. I thought that was a great idea. But then also, you know, like there was one gentleman that said he'd started back in 1982, and he'd actually started, you know, playing fantasy football with his father. And I thought that was an interesting story. And he talked about years ago, I mean, you didn't have the internet. We didn't have the apps that we had, and you had to go and you do the research. I mean, you know, he said it, you know, was really a lot tougher, you know, then.
Rebecca, players back in those days used to get the Sunday paper and total their own statistics themselves to determine who was winning. They did it all the longhand.
Wow. And now we can do it like hourly or every day. You know, you stay up with your players. So it's amazing, you know, how we've come a long way. But, you know, it's amazing, you know, since 1982. And there was another gentleman I interviewed from 1999, you know. And so these are years being involved in this. So, you know, this is where they're having so much fun and it's such an interest. And now it's even gotten more popular because, you know, everybody's catching on and everybody's wanting to be, you know, a part of it.
Were you surprised about how many women would bet in the room, Greg?
I was very surprised. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it was neat to see, and it was, and you know, I guess maybe Lady Luck, maybe. We'll see.
Speaking of Lady Luck, what did you think about those lady cheerleaders?
Oh, they were awesome, and they were so nice. Yes, absolutely. They did a wonderful job and did a fantastic job. Yeah, we can't say enough about them. You're right. We need to bring some attention to those because those ladies were fantastic. They did a great job, and staying up with it all, you know, they were fantastic. But now I do have another question too. Now, if you know, where's the best place for the KFFSC players to stay up to date? Where are some good? Can you give us some great places to go to, apps, and the Fantasy Football Toolbox? Tell us what can you do.
Well, one of the things, yes, Toolbox would be a great place to follow developing trends. I would also encourage all players and of any age, and you know, some just won't do it, but if you will understand that Twitter is your most automatic news feed, and that will keep you up to date on injuries and players who are going to play and weather conditions in certain cities and things that you need in that last hour on Sunday when you're putting together your lineup. And of course, we want everyone to visit KFFSC.com to find out the things that we're planning and we're doing, and to understand a little bit real insight about how our players are doing in the leagues. You know, we have a lot of things still to come. We're not through yet, Rebecca. There'll be mid-season drafts. There'll be some drafts beginning in week 3 and 4, and if the demand exists, we'll go entirely through the year with more drafts. So if fantasy drafting is not over, and for listeners who may have missed the event at the Horseshoe, we certainly don't have anything big like that planned for the rest of the year, but we do have opportunities for them to play football with us, and if they'll stay tuned and listen to our show here, we'll be telling them about them. You may even draft another team.
I don't know. We'll see, okay? I guess fantasies do happen, right? They do come true. Now, another one, too. My partner in crime, Eric Bachman, who we're going to be speaking with shortly, he actually, you know, I guess listening to, like, podcasts are a good thing, too, right?
Oh, sure. Eric is one of the number one podcasters of the Fantasy Football Hour every week. He is a significant contributor to fantasy strategy, and his podcast, multiple thousands of downloads a week. His show's just gotten bigger and bigger over the years. We're going to love hearing from Eric a lot more than me.
Well, I think this is going to be fun. I look forward to it. And when we get into the actual, you know, full-fledged season and getting into this, then it'll be so interesting to talk with you. And I hope that, you know, that you don't mind every Wednesday night, talking with us here, because this is fantastic. And it's going to be some great updates for everyone else, you know, playing the fantasy football. And we gave away a team, and the one that won that was Hack Albertson, and he could not, he's been talking about it ever since. He had so much fun on Saturday.
Pat came in Saturday morning and he did a great job. He really enjoyed drafting and everyone enjoyed having him in the room. He went out of the number one position and he drafted a player that I'm actually on the way to see in Minnesota this tomorrow night, Adrian Peterson.
Oh, wonderful. Well, this is cool, isn't it? Yeah. Well, he had a great time, and he's like, oh, everything was so much fun. So he was very well pleased. So we're going to bring him in maybe one of the Wednesdays or maybe a few of the Wednesdays and come and talk with us, too, and we can find out and compare his team to the WSLM team.
Well, we'll keep a special eye on Hack. I expect him to have a really good rookie year.
Yeah, we want to keep good with Hack. I think he might get a good payoff there, okay?
That's right.
All right. Well, Farrell, listen, we're so glad to talk with you, and thanks for all that you have done for us here at WSLM, and we've had a blast, and I know that our listeners, and we had a great promotion with that, giving away a team and then actually having a team with ourselves and our consultant, Eric. I look forward to Eric, kind of leading, I guess he's leading, leading me, leading the sheep, I guess, to helping me, figure out what to do and how to play the players, so...
You guys will be great co-managers and get with it and start talking about it now.
All right, wonderful. All right, Farrell, be careful. So you're on the road right now?
On the road, headed north. It's a pleasure talking to you.
You do. All right, thank you, Farrell.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Radioactive for sure, and I do have Eric Bachman with me. Good evening, Eric.
The hump day, Becky. Very excited to be on.
Wait, now you got to say it. Hump day.
Hump day.
Eric, that's awesome. We'll let you say it every Wednesday. I think you can say it a lot better than I do.
I could probably have a career in that.
I think you could. I like that. Very good. Yeah, that's your claim to fame there, Eric, okay?
Exactly. Yep, I agree.
No, I'm just joking. No, not quite. Listen, I just got off the phone from Farrell, and I tell you what, Farrell, of course, he's on the road. He's going north, and we want to thank him for taking time for us here. But, we both bragged on you, and your ears had to be burning because of the wonderful things that we were talking about from you.
Farrell Elliott, for whatever reason, is a big Eric Bachman fan, which I still don't understand, but I'm glad he is, for sure.
Absolutely. That's one to have on our team, right?
Yeah, he's a genius. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I'm not kidding when I say that.
Well, I think I'm going to become a fan, too, of yours, Eric, because you did a great job, and we are going to talk about our team and kind of do the layout of that and our reasoning for what we did, the craziness that we did do. But first of all, I did pose the question to Farrell, and let's see what you say on this. During the next, few days, I think Farrell said, what, 4 days or so until the season actually, or he's got the countdown, till actually the season opens. What should we here at Fantasy Football with our team, what should the owners, managers, what should we be doing?
It kind of depends upon whether you drafted or not. Now, we've drafted, so there's not a whole lot we can do because the waiver wire doesn't open up for us until after week one. So we just basically got to hope that Can all of our players make it through this this final preseason game healthy with no issues whatsoever? And we'll be fine. Now, if you haven't drafted yet, you should still be paying attention to preseason depth charts. Find out who's running with the starters in training camp, because essentially those are probably going to be the guys. Probably 80-85% of the time, those are going to be the guys that are going to be starting when the regular season starts. So that's what I would advise those people to be doing, watching those depth charts and paying attention to player injuries for sure.
Right. Now, you know, I do want to say that, you know, we want to thank you for talking with us on WSLM, but I do want to say that you actually have your podcast, and we want everybody to tune in and listen for that, and that's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour.
That is correct. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and here's live on blogtalkradio.com every Friday, 10 p.m., Eastern Time, where we're on for an hour. We basically cover the world of the high stakes fantasy football industry. We usually have a high stakes player on every single week, you know, these are guys that plunk down thousands. In some cases, we have one player this year who's paid just under $200,000 in entry fees alone to get him on the show. We're just basically, you know, covering these people. It's fine and good if you want to talk about or follow the advice of the guys who write for, you know, the big media websites out there. But, you know, those guys aren't plunking down 10 grand or 50 grand of their own money to play. You know, it's just they get paid to write basically whatever they want. These high-stakes players put their money where their mouth is. We have one of them on every single week, and we cover the contest, the Fantasy Football Players Championship, myffpc.com. We cover that every week and talk about who's winning that event. Of course, this year's winner is going to get $250,000 grand prize. It's very fun. If you like informative, boring fantasy football podcasts, don't tune in. But if you like comedy, having a good time, and just basically screwing around for an hour on Friday night, I would highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun to do, and we just hope you tune in.
I know why Farrell put us together.
Exactly.
Yeah, he saw us together. I see that. Okay, now let's see. On the whenever we were picking out our fantasy football team, I watched Eric. You got like in this like, you know what I mean, in this like game mode, you know what I mean? And I felt like, for a little bit of a, you know, I guess a part of it, you know what I mean? I felt like I was like, we were like managers of some big team, you and I, and, you know, we're picking out, we're actually drafting fantasy, but it felt like we were actually, you know, doing an NFL, you know, draft, you know, trying to find, and it's really a lot of fun, and it's a great experience. If anybody, you know, I've heard some say, oh, I've never done fantasy football, but this is a great thing. I would encourage everyone to do it if you've not done it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you can't really sit in a seat for 2 hours or 2.5 hours or however long we did it. You can't really sit in a seat for that long and do nothing and have your heart racing the whole time.
Right.
Worrying if a guy is going to fall to you, wondering if you should take a quarterback here, wondering if this is the right spot to take a tight end. You know, there's all these things going through your head. It's a lot like poker in that you're not only trying to, build your team, but you're trying to read what the other guy across the table is doing. You're trying to figure out what the guy next to you is going to do with his pick, because what he does kind of dictates what you do with your pick or her pick. I mean, there's a lot of talented women there, too. I don't mean to disparage them, but it was a lot of fun. If you've never been to the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, the drafts and everything, it's sold out this year. But get to Louisville next year at the Horseshoe Casino. Sign up for Farrell's contest. $350. $300. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to spend your money, and it makes the entire NFL season worth watching.
Well, absolutely. Now, some of our strategy, you are the advisor, you're the lead. I'm just, I was surprised, and I know that you explained it to me, but maybe for our listeners too. Like, I thought, like, when we first picked, I thought we'd grab, like, the top-notch quarterback. I mean, that just, you know, this is a no-brainer. This is, like, on the way there, I was kind of going it over my head, and I was thinking about the, you know, and I thought we would have grabbed it, but we didn't, several others. I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks were not picked till like maybe the ninth round or later on.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always been a strategy of mine, is not to get an upper echelon quarterback. Not that I don't mind it. I love Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees as much as the next guy, but I'm not willing to pay the premium that you have to do to get them. In this case, quarterbacks are being pushed down in fantasy drafts this year, so we probably would only have to spend a third, fourth, and in some cases a fifth round pick to get one of those guys. But the those quarterbacks are much more easily replaced on the waiver wire, or getting a guy who's, you know, maybe a notch below, you know, in the ninth or tenth round, which is what we did. We took Robert Griffin III. We waited all the way to the 12th, I think, to take him as our starting quarterback. A guy who, before he went down last year, was the leading fantasy quarterback in points scored in the Kentucky Championship. So, obviously, if you're going to wait that long to take a quarterback, the value is much better there. Whereas if you take a quarterback in the second or third round, you're giving up a lot of great receiver and running back value there.
Right. Now, Eric, let's go over our running backs that we've got. I don't know if you've got them for me. I have them before me. We picked Doug Martin from Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers. And we picked and Lamar Miller from the Miami Dolphins, Monty Ball from Denver Broncos, Isaiah Pede from St. Louis Rams, Stephen Taylor from Arizona Cardinals, and Jonathan Stewart from Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, and to sort of set the scene for everybody listening out there, this is a 20-round 12 team PPR draft. So each player is going to get a point for every one of their catches. And we had to go deep with running backs. Now, Doug Martin at number two, I don't want to say it's a no-brainer. There's plenty of other guys we could have taken there. But Martin, according to the average draft position and what fantasy owners are thinking out there, Doug Martin is the guy to own there. So I felt really good about taking him there. Getting Lamar Miller in the early fourth was a little bit of a risk because Daniel Thomas and him were running with the starters in Miami. However, the day before we drafted, news came out that Daniel Thomas is probably going to be the backup for Lamar Miller. Miller had the better preseason game on Saturday night, so we actually got a pretty good value there in Miller, but it wasn't as good as the value we got in the sixth round, where we get Monte Ball all the way at the end of the sixth round, a guy who had been going as high as the early fourth. He tumbled a little bit, despite being the best running back in Denver's preseason game on Saturday night. So to get him as our third running back there was awesome. Isaiah Pede is a guy who's probably going to have significant playing time in the St. Louis backfield this year. He's probably not going to be the starter to start off the season because, well, it's for sure he won't because he's suspended week one. But even in week two, he's probably just going to see a few carries. But if Daryl Richardson goes down in St. Louis, Pede would be the guy to own there. Rashard Mendenhall in Arizona had a serious knee injury Saturday night. It turned out that he's probably going to be okay, but if Mendenhall does get hurt, we'll probably have the starting running back in Arizona, Stephen Taylor, and we only had to pay a 15th-round pick to get him. And then Jonathan Stewart late. He's hurt right now. He's on the pup list. We won't have him until week seven, but if he's healthy when he comes back in October, that's a steal definitely in the 16th round.
Look out. All right, wonderful. Our wide receivers, Dermius Thomas, how do you say that?
Dermarius,
okay, from the Denver Broncos. Maybe you should tell the names. Is it Marquise Colston from New Orleans Saints?
Yep.
Steve Smith from Arizona Cardinals. Chris Givens from Carolina Panthers. I'm trying to read my writing. Reuben Randall from New York Giants. Darius Hayward Bay from the Indianapolis Colts, which was excited about getting a Colts. You know how I felt about that. Kendall Wright from Tennessee Titans, and Jeremy Curley from the New York Jets.
Yeah, and with these wide receivers, they're so key to getting the Kentucky format. You have to start two running backs, three receivers, and a flex, which can be a running back, receiver, tight end every single week. So in this format, every year I've drafted, and if the receivers get snaked up pretty early, and you can't, let them go. You got to get your receivers early or you're going to be left out in the cold. I thought Dermarius Thomas with the second to last pick of the second round was a great value there. I think the top six receivers this year are on a plane all on their own, and Dermarius Thomas was the last of those six. So to get him with the 23rd overall pick was really great. Of course, the third round reversal happened, and Marcus Colston falls all the way to us at the end of the third round as well. Third round reversal in the Kentucky format means that the team that had the last pick in the second round will also have the last pick in the third round as a way of sort of not giving them an advantage if they get one of the top two stud running backs. Back in the days of LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Alexander, that was why that was instituted. So we get Colston at the end of the third, the number one pass catcher, the number one receiver on a pass-happy team in the New Orleans Saints, so that was good. Steve Smith with the Carolina Panthers, of course, in the fifth round. Again, a number one target there, and the fact that we only have to count him as a wide receiver three makes his value even better. Chris Givens is the deep threat and the guy who's shown the most in St. Louis's new offense this year. They want to pick up the pace and run a lot more plays and be a much more dynamic team, and Chris Givens is going to be a big part of that. We can start him every week as our flex. We don't have to count on him as an every week starter. We want to go with Monte Ball there, which was really awesome. Kendall Wright's going to catch a lot of passes in Tennessee. Reuben Randall is going to see some value for us because Victor Cruz is already hobbled in the preseason, and Hakeem Nicks has never been able to stay healthy. Those are the Giants' two top receivers, so Randall is going to have a few weeks where he's going to be starter-worthy for us. Darius Hayward-Bay from your Indianapolis Colts comes to us at a great value later on in the draft. He's going to see a lot of targets this year. And again, we didn't have to pay a big price to get him. Same thing with Jeremy Curley. He's probably going to catch 65, 70 balls this year, and it's insane that we got him as late as we did. So our receivers are probably the strongest part of our team.
All right, fantastic. And then our tight ends, Jermichael Finley, Green Bay Packers, and Kobe Fleener from Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, Finley, I think, is a guy that's teased fantasy owners every single year. But this is the year, I think, that everything's clicking. He's saying the right things. The coaches are saying the right things. His teammates are saying the right things. Everything seems to be on the right level for Jermichael Finley this year, and I think this is the year that he is going to break out because of all that positivity that's been surrounding him, in training camp. The fact that we can get him as late as we did with three receivers already on our team, that makes us even stronger, that we can start essentially a borderline wide receiver two, wide receiver three value in Jermichael Finley. To get him where we did was awesome. And, of course, Kobe Fleener. I really like him as a backup tight end this year. If anything happens with Finley and he's not able to play to the expectations we think he is, Fleener is going to be able to step in and be a fine starting tight end for us most of the season.
Well, Kobe, actually, we had a big bash at the riverfront in Kentucky, the Kentucky riverfront there, and he was actually there, and I got to meet him, and so I was so happy when we got him on our team. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Then our kicker, we had one kicker, Adam. How do you say his last name?
Vinatieri.
I should know that. He's an Indianapolis Colts. So why did we just pick one kicker, Eric?
Well, the kickers, too, are going to be easily replaced. I think when Vinatieri has his bye, we are going to probably drop him for somebody else because I don't want to take up a roster spot with two kickers. Okay. And I like to just have fun with those. It's so hard to predict who the top 12 kickers are going to be at the start of the year. So we took a flyer there. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, but we'll find out about a month into the season whether he's going to be a mainstay on our team or if he is going to be waiver wire fodder when we need another kicker.
All right. And our defense, why did we pick the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, the Cardinals are an interesting team because, they're historically not a great, or they historically have not been very good in the last 10 years or so. But what I do like about their team this year is that they have a lot of playmakers on defense. Patrick Peterson is one of the best athletes in the NFL. He's going to be able to return kicks for us for touchdowns. We'll get points for that. He's going to return interceptions and fumbles for touchdowns. And then, of course, they draft the Honey Badger as well, get Tyrann Mathieu on that defense. There's going to be a lot of big-time interceptions, fumbles, and plays on that Arizona defense this year that's really going to help us in fantasy. So, again, I'm not a huge believer in defenses, but that was one that I really liked as a potential top five defense this year. So I was happy we were able to snare them.
Now, when you have the defense, do you get as many points with that?
Yeah, we'll get points when they score touchdowns, when they get sacks, when they get fumble recoveries, when they get interceptions. We'll get points for all of that on the Kentucky format. We just got to make sure that they're not giving up a ton of points to other teams. The fewer points they give up, the more points we get. In that division, San Francisco, Seattle, those are teams with pretty good offenses, but they tend to rely on their running game and defense, so they probably won't put up a ton of points this year against Arizona. And then, of course, St. Louis last year, Arizona did pretty well against as well. A lot of question marks on St. Louis's offense as well, so Arizona could have a couple of good games against them. That's six games out of their schedule right there that I feel pretty good about that matchup.
Okay, and then our quarterbacks, we touched with just a little bit. RG3, the Washington Red Sox, and Redskins, sorry, and Joe Falco, thinking baseball. Joe Falco, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, to Flacco, it was kind of a joke at the table because we needed a backup quarterback. quarterback. Yeah. and we got Flacco, and I was wearing his jersey, so of course everybody cheered, and we all had a good laugh on that. But hey, he's the defending Super Bowl MVP. He's going to have some talented pass catchers there. Again, it's a backup quarterback. We'll start him when the matchup's right, but we don't have to rely on him as a starter. And then I touched on it earlier, RG3, a lot of talent. We just announced today that he's going to start week one. So we're very excited about that, to be able to plug him in right away and have that type of dynamic potential in our lineup. I'm a big fan, and I think despite us waiting on quarterbacks, we're still really strong there.
Well, you know, I've been doing my research on you too, Eric. I think that your title is Crafty Bulky. Is that right?
Yeah, that's one of my nicknames. Yes.
And I was supposed to ask you. Farrell told me to ask you about Don Ickerson.
Oh, Don Erickson. Yeah, Erickson. Don Erickson is an alter ego of mine that comes out during various fantasy football events. Don Erickson couldn't make an appearance in Kentucky, but if you're going to be out at the FFPC Live events in Las Vegas coming up next weekend, Don Erickson will be there in full 70s Ron Burgundy haircut and suit garb. He loves his women, he loves his scotch, and he will be in Las Vegas coming up this weekend.
All right, I want to know more about that. I'm not done with you on that. We got to get out of here. I think we can talk another hour, but we've got a real high school football programs. We're going to go underneath the golden arches here from our three county coaches, and we're going to be talking with them. But Eric, I look forward to this football season, and of course, you know, radio WSM Radioactive. I hope we go all the way.
I'm very excited. We definitely have the potential to.
And real quick, let's give a plug for your podcast again for anyone who wants to tune in and listen to you Friday night.
blogtalkradio.com/HSFF, 10 o'clock Eastern time every Friday night. Check us out. You can also download us on iTunes the next day.
All right. Fantastic. Eric, be safe. Thank you. Football fever.
Thanks, Becky. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Yeah.